Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to another program in the award-winning series of Listen to Older Voices, the life and time stories of older Australians as told through their recollections. I'm Rob Greaves, and this is part two of a three-part program featuring the story of 78-year-old Helen Harmer. Last week we learned that Helen was brought up in very much a rural environment. However, on moving closer to Melbourne with her family, she had to rapidly learn how to deal with a more urban lifestyle, but that and little else actually fazed Helen, who adapts very quickly to new situations. This week, we hear more of how she and her sister, two country bumpkins in Helen's words, deal with the complexity of the urban train system in what is quite an amusing story. She shares stories of her high school experiences and the circumstances that led her to going to teachers' college, despite her father believing that while his daughter should have a solid education, it didn't need to be a complete one. As part of that story, we also learn more about her father, who was quite an amazing man in his own right. While attending Teachers College, she meets Ted Harmer, her husband-to-be. This is a very engaging part of the story, as is in particular the secret Helen only shared with Ted just before their engagement. It didn't stop the wedding. In fact, they remained married for 57 years before Ted passed away. We pick up with Helen sharing a story of what happened to her and her sister when they missed the only bus that would take them home. So did you ever miss it?
Yeah, a couple of times.
I had the feeling that was the case, yes.
Well, some of the dads had come in because there'd be a group of us.
Of course, we weren't
standing there by ourselves.
No.
And so the general store fellow who was the owner of the general store, he'd ring up a couple of the dads and they'd come and pick us all up, you know, and we might get home or they'd let someone know that, yeah, I've got your kids on board and I'll bring them home. So we led a very resilient life. But the funny story I was going to tell you about, the first day my dad took us, my mother never took us anywhere. She never took us anywhere. She never left the home very much, only on market days. She'd go to market with Dad. But she never left home. But Dad took us everywhere. So he took us to school and showed us which way to go. And so now after school we got down and Nanette and I went out on the platform and off we went. And we hit Camberwell Station and then we hit something. And I said, I don't remember going through Camberwell Station, do you? No, she said, quick, jump off. So we jumped off. We'd gone to the platform that we got off in the morning.
Ah, which is not the return platform.
So the station master, we went and told him we were a couple of country bumpkins and didn't know where we wanted to go to Box Hill. And he goes, well, I'll put you on the train. So he took us across the bridge and he put us on the train and he told us that the station before was Mont Albert. So when you see Mont Albert station, you get up and get off at the next one.
Right. And you got, was that one of the days you missed the connecting bus then?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I think by the sound of it.
So it was a sharp learning curve, but we never made that mistake again.
No, I bet you didn't.
So was
the transition to high school, did you find that easy? Was it a pleasant experience at high school?
It was great for me because I'd sort of, I really enjoyed it. It was at high school, you know, and by the time I got into high school, being in a little country school, I didn't walk in my sister's shadow anymore.
Right.
And that was a big influence in my life. She was bright, and because I was a 4.5-year-old starting school, she was well over 5 when she started school. So she had an advantage over me. And of course, no kindergartens or anything
like those days.
No. So you just went straight to school.
Yeah.
And I blossomed when I got to high school.
Right. You mentioned that, I guess it was Mum and Dad, the anticipation was that you wouldn't get
a long education, just enough education. But you went and became a teacher, so you obviously went past that year nine. Form three. Yeah.
Well, Nanette finished at year 10. We were virtually given the ultimatum, you know, you get a job or you come home and milk cows.
Mm.
And I think it was the thinking of that generation that girls would, and my father was probably the thinking too, you'll get married, you'll have children, and your husband will take care of you.
Yeah, yep.
And that was the thinking.
So why do you need to have big education?
You don't need to have an education.
That's right. Yeah.
And so when it came my turn, he let me go to year 11, and I wanted to go back and do matriculation year 12, and he said no, and I sort of was to come home and help on the farm, and I said no, I don't want to do that. And he said, well, go and get a job. And I said, no, I don't want to get a job. I don't know what I want to do, you know. And I decided that I'd apply for Teachers College. In those days they gave studentships, but I was only 16.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really want you couldn't get in. They had studentships. You work 12 months in a school, and then if you think you like it, well,
yes,
you could go on and be. Well, they cut that out the year that I went, and that was the year we shifted from the farm. We shifted off the farm, and we came to Chadstone.
Right.
And they just opened Burwood Teachers College at that time. And I applied for Burwood Teachers College, and I found out a week before college started that I could start. I think they were short of teachers because all the baby boomers like you were coming through, hitting high school, and they didn't hitting schools and that, and they didn't have enough teachers. In fact, the year I was in Teachers College, I was in Burwood for 2 years. The year I was in Teachers College, there were a whole lot of boys who'd done university in the first year and were dropping out and blah, 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 and didn't want to go. They were seconded across. If you fail your university or you don't want to drop out, you're seconded into teaching, and there were a whole lot of them that were seconded across. They all ended up principals later on in life. Mm, so that was that. Meant to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No. So Teachers College, you felt an affinity with that? You felt it
coming there? Well, Teachers College was a way out for me. It opened the doors and to an education.
And Dad was happy for you to do that?
Well, he didn't care really what I did. I think eventually, later on in his life, I think he was very proud of me, the fact that I was stubborn enough to to persevere, because he was a very persevering man.
Mm.
Well, he ended up head of the refrigeration department in McRobinson's chocolate factory. That's where he finished up his life. And so he'd learnt just using his own brain and reading books and things. He didn't go to college, you know, he didn't go to university and learn all this.
No.
He learnt everything by just reading and learning off someone who did it and observing. And he was amazing with machines. He could fix anything, any machine at all. You plonk a machine in front of him and he could fix it.
Do you recall your first school as a teacher?
I was a teacher.
Yes, as a teacher.
Well, there's a little bit of proviso before that because when I was 17, I was still going to Teachers College and I met my future husband.
Whose name was?
Ted.
Ted? How did you meet Ted?
Well, we used to go to college and we used to wear blazers, which were tan and they had yellow trims on them, so we stood out like a neon light. And I was going to college, there was a young country boy who came from Savannah, and he was staying with his auntie, and he decided that he was very athletic. He was a junior high jumper champion, and he was all into it. He was going to the Olympics, so he thought, you know. So he was training, busily training, and he used to run from Oakley down to my bus stop every morning, and we'd go to college together. And in those days, no trams along, so we'd get the Warrigal Road bus up to the corner of Burwood Highway.
Ventura, I think
it then,
was.
Yes, and then we'd walk down the hill, you see, to the college, which is a fair walk now when I look at it. And anyway, one day Ted picked my friend up and gave him a ride. He said, I go past. He was a school teacher, and he said, I go past
Ted was a school teacher?
Yes.
Ah.
He taught in the country, and this was his first city school.
Right.
He was 10 years older than me.
Right.
And he said, oh, I go past the Burwood Teachers College. I'll give you a lift. And Mervyn said, there's a girl I go with at the bottom of the hill down there, and we catch the bus. So the brand new Volkswagen pulled up, and I stepped in and said hello, and he said, what's your name? And I told him, and sat in the back seat for a few months, and ended up in the front seat. And
Listen to Older Voices, the magic of memories. I'm Rob Grooms, and I'm talking with Helen Harmer. And Helen is sharing the recollections of the first time she met her husband-to-be, Ted.
So, was it a lengthy and gentle thing, or did it happen very quickly, the connection between, you know, becoming a couple? Was that quick, or did it take a long time?
I met Ted in February, and we were engaged the following October. And because I was under 18, I had to have permission to get married and everything. But being a student teacher, I got paid. That was the only reason why my dad let me do it. Because I was on a student allowance.
Of course.
You got £7.10 a fortnight. So $14, $15, $16 a fortnight, that was our pay.
Yep.
So that allowed me to pay board at home.
And have a little bit in your pocket.
And have enough for my bus fares and stuff like that. So I could keep myself. That was the only reason why my dad let me do it, I think. But in those days, you had to, because you were bonded, you had to teach for 3 years.
Of course.
If you got married, you only had to teach for 12 months.
Oh, okay. That's so, almost a form of reverse discrimination, isn't it? That's encouraging you to get married.
So I only taught for 12 months, but my first school was Devon Meadows Primary School, which was down through Camp Cranbourne. And I turned up, it was in amongst all the chook farms and pig farms and... And it was a completely different farming life to what I'd ever known.
Yes.
And plenty of snakes down there, lots of snakes, but, because you boarded in the country in those days. And I boarded with a lovely couple who owned a chook farm.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to take all their eggs into the Dandenong market every week. So my dad had owned an egg grading production factory in Warrigal.
Gosh, he had his fingers in a lot of pies.
He did. And so I knew how to grade eggs.
Uh-huh.
And we used to do it on weekends as kids, you know, you'd have the light and you'd put the egg underneath the light and the light would shine into the egg and you could see whether it was fertilised or had blood spots or whatever. And they went that way and the good ones went that way and they were picked up every week and brought to Melbourne. He also had a rabbit run through the Strzelecki Ranges, which he'd go out and in those days, just after the war, not much money around, and the farmers used to get rabbits and trap rabbits, and we used to trap rabbits with ferrets.
Yes.
And they used to hang all their rabbits at the gate, and Dad would go through once a week and pick them all up, and because we had the big cooling thing at the refrigeration at the thing, and which they'd all go in. I think most of them were just skinned, and the skins were sent to R.M. Williams to make the Akubra hats out of, so that's where they went. But no, it was sort of, my dad had lots of things going, yes.
So you mentioned you only worked as a teacher for 12 months. Did you go back to teaching at some stage?
Yes. I taught for 12 months, then we got married. We decided in those days there was no contraception pill. Uh-huh. So I'll teach for the full 12 months. So we got married on the 31st of December.
I didn't ask you. How did Mum and Dad feel about you marrying somebody who was 10 years older?
My mum was against it because she thought I hadn't... because she was 28 when my dad and Mum got married. They're both 28. We found out, my mother never told us her age. We found out after she died that she was older than my dad.
Interesting.
She wouldn't tell us. My dad told us after she died. She died before him. Yeah. And he told us that she was older than him. Not by much, but she was a bit older. But in those days...
That's right. Things were quite different then, weren't they?
Yeah.
So Dad was okay.
I was... pretty stubborn.
I was going to say, sound like you're very strong-willed.
Fairly stubborn. No, I suppose I was. I knew my mind, and I always did. And I was. I sort of. I don't know. They say it's not love at first sight, but sometimes I wonder because. The moment I stepped into that car, I just looked at him.
You felt a connection?
I didn't have a clue how old he was. I didn't know until right before we were engaged. He didn't tell me. In fact, he came back one night and said, I've got something to tell you. And I thought, oh.
I wonder what this is about, yes.
And that's when he said, I'm 10 years older than you. Do you realise that? And I said, oh, that's...
It meant nothing to you.
It didn't make any difference to me. It didn't. In fact, we used to joke about it later on because he sort of used to... But he never mentioned it from the day that I said it doesn't make any difference.
That was it.
He never mentioned the difference between our ages.
Ever. Well, it obviously wasn't important to either of
you. Well, it wasn't important to him either. No. I think it was just the, you know...
Was it a good wedding? Do you remember, was it a big wedding, a small wedding?
The wedding was hilarious because we were all cow cockies and they had to go home, didn't they, milk their cows. So we were married in the middle of the day, weren't we?
Of course. Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
So we were married at 12 o'clock. We were married in the Ashburton Presbyterian Church. And my mother was sort of... she was against it for a start, and I think she just thought I was the first one. My older sister wasn't married.
Oh, okay.
So I was the first one, and I think she just thought, I don't think she could get her head around it. She couldn't deal with it. I think, looking back, I've written my memoir for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only really come to the realise. I grew up with this mother who I sort of really didn't know. But I didn't even know her even when she died, I don't think. But looking back on her as an older person, I think she was very emotionally deprived all her life. She never had two parents that ever loved her, really, because her father... you know, he died when she was 10, and he had Parkinson's, so obviously he was quite ill before he died, sort of thing.
Yes.
And So she had her older sisters bringing her up. My nana was still, her stepmother was still around right up into the 50s. She was a very eccentric lady, my step-nana. She was quite bizarre, actually, in what some of the things she did. But she never treated us any different, her grandchildren, you know. Yep. They were all... But my mum, I think she just grew up this emotionally, and she didn't know how to deal with it.
I think we've got to also take into consideration that your generation was still part of that children should be seen and not heard mentality, but hers was even stronger than that.
Oh, yes.
She came from, when she was a kid, well, it would have been the turn of the century, the 20th century, and children really weren't...
No,
they were almost a nuisance to families. Yeah. You know,
no,
so
she sort of... Yeah. She had a great affection for her eldest brother.
Right.
Who was... and he became a guardian, I think, after her dad died. He became her guardian. And he was very, very good to her. And I think the only reason she took us back to Harkaway and that... He was a bachelor. He never married. And was to keep him... in our lives,
yes,
sort of thing.
Yes.
And, she had a very poor relationship.
Listen to Older Voices. Revisiting through recollections.
Silly as this might sound, do you think you've got a better impression of your mother as you've gotten older?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've come to understand why she always said, when we'd come in and we'd say, can we do such and such? And she'd say, go and ask your father. And we'd ask Dad. If Dad said, yes, or if he said no, you never came back.
No, it was no.
Yeah. No, it was it. So when it came to... me, when Ted asked me to marry him, I said, go and ask Dad. And Mum was against it. She just thought I was too young and I should do other things. And I don't think she wanted to let me out of, in those days too, when you married, you virtually stepped out of that family.
Oh, yes.
And you became,
yes,
it's not... come into the family, it was stepping out of the family into a certain degree.
Yeah.
And so
Dad accepted Ted.
Oh, I just sent him off, and I think Dad thought Ted was, I think he thought he was the right person for me, because...
Well, obviously he was right, because...
He was very right, because Ted never said a cross word to me in his whole life.
Wow.
And we had 57 years of married life together.
Well, you were doing something right together, because that's an achievement.
He never said a cross word to me.
Wow, that's amazing.
But he did something else, though. If he was doing something and like washing dishes, and he thought I should help him, he sighed.
That was his trigger to tell you.
And you'd be sitting there and you'd hear a sigh and you go, rapid move. And he raised four children, and he got cross with them. And I'd say, oh, I'll tell your father what you did, you know. And he'd come in and... he could reduce all four of them to tears by saying, I'm disappointed in what you did.
Wow.
And that's all he used to say. Well, and the kids would say, oh, you know, they did not want to disappoint their dad.
I was going to say that. As silly as it sounds, it's actually almost a thing that says how much they loved him, wanting that to make sure that he was still approving of them. That's quite something.
He'd just say, I'm disappointed that you did that. And they'd end up, especially the girls, they'd end up sobbing wrecks.
So what, you had two boys and two girls?
Two boys and two girls, but the boys are either end.
So first and last.
First and last. The first one, he's quiet.
Name?
Peter.
Peter's first.
There's a photo of them, all four of them over there.
Oh, okay.
The two girls are in the middle, and then the big one at the standing at the back. He's not as big as that now. He's slimmed down a bit. but he's the youngest one.
Right.
And but they're the two girls grew up because only had the six of us in the three-bedroomed house with the family room and one bathroom. I don't know how they survive these days.
No, you look back at those days and it was all normal. You look back now and you go, hell.
We had one toilet.
How did we do it?
Yes, one toilet.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, dear. But, no, well, I think we did it because we took it in turns.
Yeah. Plus, you don't move into that lifestyle. You grow up through that lifestyle, don't you? I mean, go back to the farm. I mean, the chances were you probably didn't have sewerage even.
No, we didn't have electricity for a while.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
Join Helen and I next week for the conclusion of her story, where we learn more about her grandfather and grandmother and about the circumstances leading to Ted's death. That's next week, Helen Harmer on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.